This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, March 15th, 2016, episode 61. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, Brian with an eye, Aldridge. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you guys doing? If you want to get find me on the internet, go ahead and go to biteoftech.com. First, that's with an I, of course. Also, if you go to our InfectionPodcast.com, we have our nice little Steam group, right around 350 people that are on there. And as we play different games, one thing you'll notice is that, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but like The Division, since people play that through Uplay, you don't see necessarily when people are playing it.
Nope.
Some of them actually show in Steam because I don't know if they have the game manually added to it. And then I'm like mine, I don't have added. So people don't know what I'm playing.
So I'm instantly going to start off with attacking PHVCK. He says Division is going to be like Destiny. Well, Dynamon, Destiny lasted forever. People are still playing Destiny. So you're either trolling or you're not familiar with the realm. There are still I was in school the other day and I saw some kid browsing the Destiny subreddit on his phone during class. That game is like, the game is like 2 years old now. Destiny was huge.
Well, you get those people that's what they're into and they'll stick with it.
Yeah. It's a it's a game that where you grind stuff.
And I've never played it. Isn't it Xbox or PlayStation only?
Yeah.
Or Xbox only?
It's on, I think it's on PlayStation and Deck. No, maybe it's only on Play. I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't have...
Yeah, Destiny's don't have dead to you at Xbox this point, League. But Destiny was very big for a pretty decent amount of time. Did you play any Division this week?
Yes, I did.
Okay, who did you play with?
I've been playing by myself. Well, I've been playing by myself.
That's the problem.
Because people are different levels right now until we hit the level cap and then we start going and doing other content together. It's just right now it will scale up to whoever else. So if you look at Saul, he's level 15 or was level 15 at the time. Most of the people are level 15 and I was level 9 or something like that. And so it was scaling up, or I was even lower than that when I first started. And so I just been playing by myself and I find it just as fun by myself for the regular quests. I don't feel like having someone else play with you makes that much of a difference. It's not until you go out into the dark zone that it makes a difference.
Which is like almost...
So JD is now level 30. So like me going and playing with them when I'm, I think, level 14 right now, it's unfair for me. I had to fight things that are level 25-ish around there. And then they're finding things that are lower level than them.
That's the problem. I think that is... that is the biggest issue I see with
but once you get to the dark zone, I mean, I'm kind of waiting to go to the dark zone until I hit more max level and then it'll be a grind for gear.
Yeah.
But right now there's plenty of quests. There's a lot of side quests. Like I could get to level 30 just on quests and side quests.
80% of the people I know are max level. Or what is the max level?
I think it's 30.
Oh. Yeah,
if I remember,
this is going to be one of these games that I may pick up on a Steam sale, because Steam does sell this game, and that's why you see some people that play it through Steam because they bought it through Steam. When it's like $40 or less,
yeah,
I don't see this game lasting. The fact that Brian, you haven't been able to play with other people because if you go into the dark zone, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
Well, they have different zone like levels, of the dark zone.
But it's that issue where like your friends now, if you're level 10 and JD is level 30, he's not going to want to come and kill a bunch of level, you know, 7 and 8 NPCs. That's no fun.
Yeah, so I've been finding that the storyline is fun. Like I'm really enjoying the storyline and we'll just have to see where it goes from that, because that's what's going to determine the long game. Now, we are going to talk about a little bit later some of the announcements of the DLCs and additional content they're going to be adding. So, we could see if you think after you see that, do you think that it's going to continue to grow?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm not sure on the future. I mean, the game is only what at this point? 3 weeks old, 2 weeks old, came out the 8th. Actually, it's only 1 week old. It didn't come out last week.
Yeah.
How is JD already level 30 in 1 week? Like that. That's
there are people that were level 30 in the first day.
But like that, what fun is that?
I'm sure they're going to be increasing level caps. So as they release this content, because they every month or two they're releasing new content, so they'll probably keep increasing the level cap at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, do we want to start out with the division?
No. Here. I don't want to harp on it. Well, I talked about it last week.
I have a video that shows the whole year one content.
How long?
I think 2 minutes, 11 seconds.
Do we want to show the whole thing?
Yeah, let's just show the whole thing. This is going to be what they're doing for the first year of content.
Okay, hold on a second here. You kind of threw that on me. This is...
And this is from Ubisoft. So this is...
Ubisoft?
Ubisoft.
All right.
Yeah, Ubisoft.
So here we go. This is Division, the year one. So this is going to be everything between...
So this is what is included with the season pass. And there is free and paid for content. So yes. If you get the season pass, you get this. But one thing I noticed, keep this in mind, if the season pass is not through Steam, so it is a one-year season pass. Usually when you buy a season pass on Steam, it's lifetime, right?
Screw that. So you're spending $40 for 1 year?
The season pass lasts for 1 year if you look on their website.
It's almost $40.
Yes. After this first year, if they're going to want you to spend another, whatever, $40, $30, $40 for a season pass extension. Like, that's the one thing I was wondering. Because usually on Steam, you don't have to worry about it. Once you buy it, you own it. I've never seen them come back and say, renew your season pass. This one, I look because it's through Ubisoft and through their Uplay. On there, it said, this season pass lasts 1 year.
All right. Let's get into it. Here we go.
All right.
We're very excited to share with you our vision for year one.
Incursions will introduce the first of an all-new challenging in-game activity developed specifically for squad play. This incursion will pit you and your squad against a seemingly unstoppable force and reward you with some powerful new weapons and equipment. The second update will change the way you play in the Dark Zone. It will also add a new incursion in the iconic Columbus Circle. In the first expansion, Underground, descend into the underbelly of New York to save what remains. Deadly enemies are regrouping in the endless maze of tunnels and subways of the underground. How deep will your team go? In the second expansion, Survival, will you find enough essential supplies throughout New York to survive and secure high-tech equipment? Or will you succumb like so many others to the temptation to turn rogue? A new threat is rising in the third expansion, Last Stand. You and your squad must prepare to defend against a relentless foe. Recruit other agents and build your defenses to help you hold the line. Unlock all three expansions along with extra VIP benefits with the Season Pass. Tom Clancy's The Division is an experience that will keep evolving, where your agent will grow stronger as you become more skilled.
Additionally, we will be bringing new features over the course of the year, starting with loot trading, gear sets, and much more free content. It's going to be a busy and exciting year. We hope you enjoy playing everything we've got in store for you.
All right.
So you saw that, I think there's like the first two or three updates are free. After that, they're going to these paid for DLCs in a way.
Okay, I got to word this very carefully. I don't have an issue with season passes.
No.
I personally don't buy them, a lot of them, most of them, because it's like I've already spent $60 and I'm not spending almost $90 to play a video game. They don't mean that much to me, sorry. But if it's truly a 1 year season pass, they need to be releasing almost an entire game's worth of content every year.
And I mean,
maybe, we're talking tens of missions every year.
Yeah.
20 missions, 30. I mean, they're charging you $40 for a season pass. The game is only 60. So if there's 20 missions that come with the break game, there needs to be at least 15 to 20 season pass missions every year.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with season passes, but...
Now, I see there is an option supposedly to buy this through Steam. Mine doesn't show up in... I don't think mine shows up in Steam. So I'd have to buy mine through Ubisoft.
Well, you wouldn't want to buy it in Steam because you don't have the game in Steam. So that would kind of...
Yeah, so that's... I mean, that's kind of the problem is I don't know if they can revoke it in Steam, like have it end. I mean, you know, that's how I assume they've always kept season passes in Steam.
Yeah.
But through Ubisoft, they could. So
now
I don't know.
Did you, when you played this week, any reactions and anything you saw that you did or didn't like? Quick overview of the game.
They did go through and clean up the questing system a lot. So that's, and maybe it's just because the betas were so limited that I didn't see this, but one thing I really did like is the fact that they were, I could say, oh, I need to get some medical, you know, money for the, you know, for medical missions. And on my map, I could see, okay, here's some medical missions and I can just go do those to kind of build up cash to upgrade and to unlock areas for my medical area and my base. So that was one nice thing because you can really focus and focus on one area and move around the map and do that. One thing I did notice that seems kind of broken is I was grouped up with Saul, who has unlocked most of the map, or at that time had unlocked a lot of the map. And so on my map, it pretty much unlocked everything. Even though I was really low level and hadn't been anywhere yet, now I see all these quest areas, even when I'm not grouped up with him. So they kind of ruined my, you know, what to expect or, you know, where I'm supposed to be right now, because they unlocked everything on my account just because I grouped up with somebody for a little bit of time, you know, on that.
Interesting.
So I don't know this is week one. So there will be possibly some things that they're going to be changing. One thing on there, I don't know if you saw that article that I put on that same link, okay, is for this opening week, because the Steam numbers aren't really accurate.
Yeah.
Because there, as I said, there's Ubisoft's Uplay, and then there's ones that are actually showing in Steam. But if you look at the post by Ubi.com,
yeah,
they're saying 1.2 million concurrent players over the weekend. So it's one of the biggest launches for a new game franchise.
Cool.
So I mean, a lot of people are playing it. It's going to be hard for us to really track, since we can't really go to the same thing we see like with SteamDB, it's going to be hard for us to track how many people are continuing to play this over time.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible. There's no way.
It's going to be up to them whether they feel like telling us or not.
Yeah, and if the what they tell bad, us,
they're
exactly.
They're not
going to
tell you.
No, but even if the numbers aren't, like, they're going to inflate that number. Like, we're not going to be able to do a, you know, they'll pull peak hours and be like, oh, look at this. Look at all these people playing, you know, when we're doing we're doing our pool of stuff Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the Division, and we'll just have to see how it goes. These next couple content releases will be very telling. If these are big things that it takes, I mean, people are already practically beating the main content of the game in a day anyways. So I'm not expecting them to release a content patch that's going to take a week for people to beat. But if it's something that can keep the play going, give people like repeatable, I guess, similar to what WoW it has, some sort of a dungeon system to where it gives you a reason to go in there and you're hoping for loot or funds or something to get something else. If they can make that to where it continues to be a fun grind, then people will do it.
Yeah. So let's, that's Division, and we spent enough time on that. Let's hop into H1Z1 now. We have,
cause there's a lot.
This is a throwback in time to H1Z1 of the past, where we had a whole boatload of content. So we have our three weeks in a row now, we've had producer updates. And last week we told you that they're going to flip-flop every other week with what game it's about. So last week it was about H1Z1 Just Survive. This week it's about H1Z1 King of the Kill. So this is limited to just stuff in the King of the Kill game. So the update is, or the post is here. You can read it. There'll be a link on our show notes, infectionpodcast.com. But quickly going through this, the new BR game mode, King of the Kill Ignition, will be up on the test servers. They're doing like a, they're almost doing a beta with it before they roll it live. It'll be on the test servers starting Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. So that'll be the 18th, Friday the 18th at 9 a.m. Pacific, and it'll run through Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific. So you'll have the weekend to hop on the test servers and play this new Ignition game mode, which you'll start on an ATV with explosives strapped to you, and then you pretty much just need to get to a safe zone or you explode. And then the players fight over the safe zone, and they're recommending people to go try that. And I definitely will, Brian. I don't know if you're going to be around this weekend, but I'd like to get a group of people on and play this
see how it plays.
A few bug fixes and changes. Some of the stuff we covered in, because King of the Kill and H1Z1 Just Survivor are still so similar, a lot of these changes we've talked about already. But prone spamming round two to fix the prone. So they've fixed prone scanning, so that won't be happening anymore. They removed the field of view camera change when sprinting. I thought I was going to say point of view camera. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So now this is a tweet that went out this week of hot fixes, and this is a literally a whiteboard, the picture, and this is significant because they are writing the issues out, they are crossing them off visually, and they are seeing what's going on with the game. Like, this is very, very significant. Most people are gonna say it's just a stupid whiteboard, but I mean,
but
they
before
went through
they would never stick to anything, and so
exactly
they
it's
would just
odd.
Be like, oh, we don't want to deal with that right now. Let's,
exactly, you know, this every morning when you walk into your office and you see Melee Super Punch listed on the wall, you're like, damn it, why can't we just fix this already? Why is this still an issue? It's kind of hitting you in the face, no pun intended, every time you walk into your office. Because it's like, I wonder before if they did this. I've never seen them post a picture of a whiteboard with stuff on it that's been crossed out.
Yeah. I mean, this might be this new guy's way of doing it.
Yeah, it just seems like, all right, like, hey, let's get this done. Let's write it out on a whiteboard, and when it's done, we're going to throw a red marker through it, and we're going to write fixed.
Yeah.
The PHVCK says, like, he says it sounds like they need 20 more whiteboards.
20 more whiteboards,
But a few things on here
really
is...
Really small pens.
Yeah. Shift select and inventories, cameras and buildings, melee super punches, mouse wheel, weapon swapping, grinder issue, that's been fixed, and then the barbed wire, punji no damage, which they say is fixed, but I know for a fact is not. And then standing in truck bed. So,
but they may have fixed it on what's going to be rolling out on a test server or something.
So that's going on with that. So they're working on that stuff that we see on that whiteboard. Putting in some server optimization stuff to shorten the queue times, which, Brian, I know you dealt with last week and you talked about that. Now this again, let me, Brian, I'm going to read this to you, and I want to hear if your opinion has changed from last week. Distinct audio now plays based on where your opponent was hit to provide feedback on whether you struck them in the body, head, hit armor, or hit a helmet. That's different sound effects
for
everything.
It's got to be different sounds for each one.
There's distinct audio now plays based on where you hit your opponent, not if, based on, which indicates more than one. So if that's the case... Yeah. When you hit somebody in the... There's a lot of sound effects. There's
so this
body,
should be in the test server. So you should notice this when you're playing on the test server.
Yeah, well, we'll notice it in... Yeah, we'll notice it in that new game mode this weekend. So body, head, hit armor, or hit a helmet. That's four different sound effects. They've got to be similar, but different enough that you can tell the difference. Yeah. Like, if one is just a short thing, and the other one is just like... half a second longer. Like, I don't know what they're going to use for this, but I hope it's four unique yet similar sound effects, because they can't be too close.
I mean, if they're just different pitches, it's not really going to help you to
know.
Oh, that was a headshot.
Oh, literally, yeah.
Yeah, like a ding is a headshot, and tong is a leg shot. I don't know.
And then the last thing on here is our new and improved.
No, I want you to read this word for word. Like the beginning line.
Okay, our new and improved gash visuals are no live. are now live.
See, no, live. I guess they're not live.
They are no live.
That's
racist. That's an issue I would make. they are impending gas rings. Yada yada yada. So the current focus. I'm going to read this verbatim. Current focus is for King of the Kill. The King of the Kill team is shifting some resources over to focus on console support to build up the game for the launch this summer, which, by the way, this is the second or third time they've referenced that. So this is not like a, we're working on rebuilding the base system and then we'll never hear from them again. They are still, I mean, this change happened when? Like a few weeks, a month ago now, maybe? Yeah. And they're still, even though that the change has happened, they're still focusing on this summer. And then there's some underlying tech and rendering that is being worked on, as well as controller support, PC, and console, which, by the way, it's crazy that they don't have that yet, and UI support as well. Gameplay.
Especially what's funny is that it's a game that, or a company that used to be Sony, and then
how
hard is it them to get a PlayStation version out?
Yeah, and then gameplay wise, we have some work happening around recoil and a lot going into brand new HUD. So new HUD's coming out, and then the next plant. Actually, that's right. This next plant release. This is not going to be on the test server. This is different. This next plant release is April 13th, which is a Wednesday. So
like a month from now.
Yeah, almost a month. Yeah, exactly. Almost
like
a month from now.
Month and 1 day short, I think.
Yeah, a month and 2 days short, but close enough.
Isn't 31 days in this month?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, the math is real. All right. Anyways.
You can't measure a month in time.
It's a month from the 15th is going to be there's an extra day in there.
But what's a month? How many days is a month?
On average, 30.
But that's the thing. Month isn't. It changes. We're 2 days short of a month, Brian.
Yeah, I'm basing it on a 30-day month.
Which is, you sound like a Roman. Oh, we base our calendar off of a 16-month year.
Yeah.
So this is coming out April 13th. So we still got time. Not something that's a little disheartening, I guess, with this is it's so far away. And there's really not anything in here that's like, holy crap. It's just kind of whatever.
Now, their game updates, a lot of these are repeats because the one thing I don't like about the new way that they're doing this is I feel like there's so many repeats.
Because
I want patch notes of this was released after our podcast last month or last week.
They're going to reference our podcast. They'll be like, hey,
I'm saying this was after, but I feel like we went over so many of these and this was announced on the 10th.
So the problem is because it's two separate games, which Brian, by the way, I don't care because they're doing the update in one. They're also saying they're doing the update in the other. That's fine. I want everything out on the table.
I don't want to sit there and we have to sit there and filter between, all right, this is something we already announced.
Yeah.
Like what have they done differently from Survival Now versus King of the Kill? That's kind of my issue is like, I can go through here. They have the Wasteland crate, like they announced that, but then there's the hospital spawning issue should now be resolved. What does that matter in King of the Kill?
Is that really in here?
Yes. Hospital spawning issue. Who cares about the hospital spawning in King of the Kill? Like, they are copying and pasting these notes. And that's what my aggravation is they're not making King of the Kill specific notes.
Yeah, you're right. They're not. I didn't read these, so.
For everything, they're like, oh, yeah, we're doing double the work here. We're doing a King of the Kill patch, and then we're doing, it's exactly the same notes. They're putting things that make no difference. They have in here, empty repair boxes can now be picked up by those with build permissions. You know, it's like this has got to be
Solar regular- Blades is saying it matters a lot. So much loot.
Yeah. The hospital spawning.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? This is the King of the Kill feed. And they're putting in there things about storage boxes, which are not in King of the Kill. Obviously, they're not paying attention to what goes into these patch notes.
Yeah.
This is a copy and paste thing. This is what's frustrating to me. Why we shouldn't even go over this because we talked about this last week.
There's nothing new on here. We talked about the shotgun stuff last week.
Yeah.
There's nothing new in this post.
But they're like, oh, we put out a new post on King of the Kill.
Destructible objects.
Same one from the week ago.
Yeah, there's nothing new.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then exactly. don't finish reading it. We already read all this.
Okay.
We literally
I just read
the entire thing.
Bring that up.
Hold on.
Isn't that so frustrating? Like, there's no real double. There's no difference.
Hold on. Let's do a.
You're doing a side-by-side.
I'm going to pull up the other notes. Hold on a second here.
I think they should only put things in King of the Kill patch notes that have to do with King of the Kill.
Where is it? Game update. Was that game update March 10th?
Yeah, the 10th is the this last one for okay, King of the Kill. So it's on the King of the Kill feed.
Hold on. Let me... Oh, boy. Hold on. Trying to do... Oh, thanks, Windows.
Figure this out.
My Windows are snapping perfectly. So here... So here is the... Here are the Windows side by side.
Okay. Are you going to be able to scroll down side by side?
No. But I can scroll... Oh, boy.
So does one say King of the Kill and one say Just Survive?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do. Look
well,
on the
well they were posted at the same time.
Yeah, so they're the exact same show. They're patch notes.
Yeah.
They're not even like separating them out.
Yeah.
They're identical.
That's pretty crappy.
Identical. Yeah. So that's frustrating. So we might as well not even cover.
Plus these came out last week, so I don't know why they were even in here now.
But that's the thing is they posted it. They said game update March 10th.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was during the week, so that's why I put it in there.
Gotcha.
But if you
look,
they're no different.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
But they announced it on the 9th, which still was after our show. Is when they posted this.
But How did we cover this last week?
That's what I don't get. Like they must have announced something. I had to look at our last week's show notes. But we talked about all this stuff.
Yeah. Aren't our last week's show notes in here? Test server updates.
Scroll down.
Oh, the March 4th note. The March 4th notes are the same as the March 10th notes.
Yeah.
Oh, because March 4th notes were for the test server. Okay, gotcha.
But if you look, they're identical.
Yeah, yeah.
So we either need to decide, are we going to cover the test server notes or are we going to cover the regular ones? Because they're not doing anything.
Here's the thing. I thought the whole point of the test server notes were if something is in the test server, the notes should be different because everything that goes in the test server shouldn't necessarily always go live.
But that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, but that's what I thought that... I guess we got to decide what we... I guess we got to cover...
So that's what I'm saying. We got to figure out how are we going to cover both without it being like, oh, let's read off what we read off last week on the test server.
Well, I guess we could just reference...
Should we only do live...
No, because then the news is... Then it's out and then we look like we're not the most accurate source of H1Z1 information on the internet. No, I guess we'll just cover the test... Because
we can just say, hey, they rolled out what we could do is like with this... What we brought up last week on the show for the test server, they rolled out to live.
Yeah, because the issue.
They could take the same 10-minute segment of talking about these show notes and they'd be identical.
Well, but the issue is when they put something on the test server, not everything should go to the live server in every case. It's a test server build. It's not supposed to be.
Exactly. The frustrating is we had to sit there and figure out. We had to go look through every detail and say, is there anything they changed between these two? It's going to be so annoying. Anyways, that's why I liked. Right now, they have very wordy test patch notes. I liked it when they had just line items of here's what we changed because it's so hard. We have to read through all these paragraphs.
This is exactly what I do when I have English essays due. I word it out. I add a bunch of stuff that it's not really relevant to anything. And then the next thing you know, bam, you got three pages and it's only like a page worth of content. Yeah. When they used Reddit, it was just bullet points.
Which was very easy to go through. Now they're trying to make it like a blog post and they're going through and putting paragraphs for every single section, which makes it a pain because we have to read through everything and say, well, did they change a word here? Did they change a percentage? Like, what did they change in this?
Yeah, I've been. I don't know if you can click on that link, but I've been memeified.
Can't measure month in time.
I've been memeified.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
That made a lot of sense.
It did make sense. Like a month.
Can't measure a month in time.
It is a month is not a unit of measurement.
It is unit of time.
But it's not really because it's not a set unit. Like a minute.
How many months are in a year?
12 months, but you were using months
so
in
terms of measurement,
but you said it's
1/12 of the year,
but it's not in the, you know, why are we talking about this? It's not the way you said it. You said it's a month and a day, a month.
I'm saying, yeah, it's a month and a day from now, which I'm taking the average month,
but which is not accurate.
I know it's not accurate.
Exactly. Cause you can't measure a month.
It's not a measurement of time.
A month is not a measurement of days. It's a measurement. It's 1/12 of the year, but it's not, you can't be like, oh, never mind. This is not going anywhere.
Okay, so let's.
I've been memeified.
There's the Wasteland crate on here. If you want to go through, they have a picture of all the different items that are in
there. I think we've done this like
We haven't shown. No, we showed like two items.
Okay. Where is this? Is this another post? Oh, the Wasteland Crate. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, Wasteland Crate. So if you go on there, they have the whole Wasteland Crate, which has.
Do you want to describe this?
Yeah, they've got a pink Hello Kitty backpack.
Hey, don't hate. All right.
They've got a skull mask. They've got, it looks like some sort of a tie-dye pinkish color skin for the 308 and for the AK. We did show the skull. Well, we showed pants with knee pads on them.
Yep.
So they have that, and they have like a skull on one of the knee pads. And they've got a parka now. They have the tie-dye helmet. They've got these steampunk type goggles, which have like a green glow to them.
Yeah, like the guy in League of Legends wears these little goggles.
And then they have the yellow raincoat parka, a snow camo parka, rusted metal armor, which looks kind of like either dirt biking pads or really old school hockey pads. They have the pink Hello Kitty backpack. They've got the flaming skull bandana, which is the flaming skull from the t-shirt that they have put on the bandana. So I guess if you have that t-shirt, you can have now a bandana that matches that. They have a leather jacket, patriotic boots. So I mean, they're looking early for 4th of July, maybe. And this is their red boots with white stars on a blue background around some of the accent areas. They have a headshot hockey mask. So I guess the hockey mask will match the shoulder pads. They have a green camo shoulder pads. They have gold padded pants with the knee pads on them. They have steampunk glasses that don't have the green glow. They have a snow kind of a digital camo of the knee padded pants, and then a camo survival backpack. So it's like the Hello Kitty one, but it's actually camo green. So that's pretty much the Wasteland Crate, which I'm not going to get.
Wow, that was very condescending.
I mean, I've got two keys.
Well, I'm not going to get it anyway, so screw it. Why even talk about it?
I mean, the backpack is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But what, does that backpack skin only, like, to skin to every backpack? Does it matter? Probably. Is it only for the bigger backpacks?
No, it probably goes to all of them. I would imagine.
It says, yeah, so.
Take my money, yes.
Yeah, so that is the Wasteland Crate that they've done. Now, Sebastian posted a thing showing some of the new trees. And so this is just some of the new trees that they're going to be doing for their Z2 map. I don't know why they always put them in asphalt every time. It just drives me crazy.
I think it's where they're building it. Vine is just the worst for playing on these shows. I can't really. It doesn't play right. So there's these trees. It's like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, they're showing how
they've seen, by the way.
Kind of move in the wind. And a little different style of tree. These ones are more thin, taller.
Yeah, these are the
that's what they definitely.
These are the vegetation. Australian wild pines. I'm a big fan of these trees.
and it is hashtag tree porn. So
yeah, there you go. Now, Brian, I do have there is another update here. And I'm just trying to do some cross comparison here. Yes, it is. So just to verify your, they're literally copying and pasting the same thing. There was a hotfix on March 11th.
From the test server?
Yeah. Well, no, not even this. There was a hotfix on March 11th for, it doesn't say what it's for, but on March 11th, this is on the h1z1.com/just-survive. So this is the Just Survive site. Players seeing the King of the Kill map is green with low videos settings should view it as intended. And then third-person camera collisions with walls with interior spaces should be improved, and then players will find it more difficult to see through ceilings. And then if you go over to the King of the Kill blog, it's the same thing. Why is players seeing the King of the Kill map is green on the Just Survive blog? That's not a... You would never see... The King of the Kill map on Just Survive because it's a different executable.
They really need to, if they're going to have these as two separate games, they need to be treating them as two separate games.
I guarantee you it's one.
Separate patch notes for these two because they're obviously these are just two executables of the exact same program they're exporting.
Well, I would say it's probably the case that the blogging platform that they're using, I'm sure they just. write it in one and it just goes to both. It's just doing some aggregation. So it's automatic.
These are two different games. But, they supposedly have two different development companies or two different development teams. If they had two different development teams, they wouldn't have the same patch notes. I promise you.
Yeah, but that's true.
They'd be typing something different. These are the exact same patch notes.
They are. Yes. And they're not even making a concerted effort
to make it look different.
Yeah. Which is pretty crappy.
So that's, so that there's the new trees. Now one
take your trees.
They showed a picture of an office map that they put in their building. If you look, it's a huge office map that they printed up and put as art in their building. Now, I want to know, is this a hint at how far away D2
is? Yes, you and I were going to the exact same place with this.
The fact they're making a permanent office, like, artwork of the Z, the you know, the version 1 map.
Now, what I do have to say,
if
this...
If they were that close to Z2, like, wouldn't you want to wait and put it up? The new Z2 map.
I do have to say, this is very high quality compared to what we've seen any of their artwork in the past. Surprised. Could you imagine this is like a 500 by 500 pixel image?
Pixelated.
They send it to like a printing shop. They're like, hey, can you blow this up to 10 feet by 5? Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. I guess it's a... something.
Maybe they'll in the future they'll be like, oh, this was the Z1 map. You know, this is how it all started. I'm sure that that's what
Brian,
do,
you're but... really looking glass half empty when you should be looking glass half full. But that's fine. I won't hate you for that. Now the bombshell of the news. Oh no, I'm sorry, not the bombshell of the news. We got more office art.
So we got more. So this is what they.
This is a mural. Painted.
Yeah. So they put this on the wall and it looks cool. This is a bunch of characters in from their cover art, I guess. For a lot of their different games, like the one female on the right, that was EverQuest.
Now you got to remember, they moved to this new building, so they need to fill up space. And I mean, part of your budget for running a, you know, company is to have like art and stuff on the walls or whatever. So them building this stuff, it's like, oh, why aren't you developing the game? Because it's an office, and you have people coming into your office. You can't have every wall be blank. That'd be like Brian. If Brian was just sitting in a room with nothing behind him, just walls, that would look so stupid. So I saw that on Reddit this week.
I mean, so that is cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, it's office. This is clearly a lounge area.
Is one of these EverQuest next? Like, are there any art from EverQuest next here?
spoiler alert. But this is clearly a lounge area. There's like some kind of bar to the left and then some lounge chairs to the right. So it's a lounge area. Now, Brian, go ahead while you just go
This is something where they have officially put out an announcement that they're canceling EverQuest next.
Falcon, I'm so sorry. Falcon is a big EverQuest fan.
Yeah. And this is something that I was actually looking forward, because I've talked about it before on here. EverQuest was my first steps into that genre. And so I have a lot of fond memories of what EverQuest was. But the technology now, if you go to EverQuest 1, if you try to play it, and EverQuest 2, they're just so outdated that it's really hard to sit down and play it. Like, you're just like, oh, this is so horrible. So I was hoping with EverQuest Next, supposedly EverQuest Next was the reason that they were making the Forge Light 2 engine, you know, along with Landmark. And this was going to be a cutting edge DirectX 11, just a really good extension of the EverQuest. And so they are canceling this. There will be no EverQuest Next. And they're saying it's because the game, I don't know if they said it on this one, but I read somewhere that they said the game just wasn't fun. Like, what they were making wasn't fun, so they pulled the plug.
There you go.
I don't know. I would assume it's because then on here they say, you know, we're trying to make something revolutionary. You know, we made things that, you know, the gaming industry noticed as game breaking. Well, it was game breaking in another way.
Day breaking and game breaking.
Yeah. So, This is just, I mean, it's sad, but I put in here in the notes, you know, is this the end of Forge Light 2? Is this the next step before they say, all right, there is, I don't know if we'll ever even say it. You know, is this going to be the end of Forge Light 2? Is there never going to be a Forge Light 2 now?
All right. Well, we took speculation out of the intro, so we don't have a whole lot of time for speculation, but what do you think? Here's the thing. If they were saying that the game wasn't fun, that means they had enough of Forge Light 2 working where they were able to test the game and see that they couldn't really make another game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, unless they canceled it with just artwork, but they must have had something. Unless they were building it on Forge Light 1 and planned on exporting it to Forge Light 2, which I can't imagine they would do.
They keep claiming, but that doesn't work.
So, no, I don't think this is the end of Ever... I don't think this is the end of EverQuest Next. I can confirm that. I don't think it's the end of Forge Light 2, because if the case was that they had a somewhat... I mean, here's the thing. You got to give this company props for canceling a game that they thought was going to be a dud, if that's the true reason for, you know, the cancellation.
Okay, so...
There's nothing worse, and Brian, you know this, movies, TV shows, and games do this all the time, milking the living hell out of a series, rather be a TV show, movie, or game. They do it all the time, and the fact that if Daybreak truly canceled this game because they didn't think it was going to be fun or live up to the expectations, then I got to give them some balls for that, not canceling a game because it wasn't going to be another EverQuest.
So here's something where they said... Now, I don't know if you want to play that from there. You don't have to play sound.
Play what?
So I just put a link in the notes. So this is some gameplay that they put. And if you look at how short that clip is, like this is their gameplay clip from 2014.
That's
it? That was it.
Okay.
And so
that was SOE Live 2014. That's 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there was enough to where that could kind of be...
Plus, that looks like crap anyway. It doesn't even look good.
So, and then here, there's another one. I think that's the right time. If you look, there's a little bit more, but these are all like 3 second, 4 second clips of being like, hey, look at our gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Well, there's definitely a whole lot going on screen that they're demoing off.
But this, I mean, this, so they did have enough to be able to do that.
Exactly. So I think it is safe to say that there was clearly enough of Forge Light 2 working where they were able to make the decision that we can't or we won't be making another game.
Yeah.
So that's my take. What's your two cents on this, Brian?
I think that they have realized that Forge Light 2 is going to be a steaming pile when it comes out.
A steaming pile of what?
of Forge Light 2. So I think that they're realizing that, and especially once we get towards the end of the show, there's a lot of things talking about game engines. And all these game engines are doing huge things right now. And then there's Forge Light 2. As these new game engines come out and put more and more out, like Forge Light 2 is just going to be more and more behind. And they're already saying, they said last year in a stream, we're not expecting Forge Light 2 to have any kind of progress for many, many, many months, is what they said. Multiples of months.
It's a steaming pile of Clegg.
And so this is where, you know, this is where I think this is going to be one of the steps towards the announcement that, all right, we're not doing Forge Light 2. I've been saying it for weeks now. I know
you've been saying it for months now. It's fine. I don't buy it.
But I've been saying that they need to just pick one of these other engines and make their next game on which that.
Which it would make their next game, correct.
Yeah. I'm not.
There's
not
no hope for H1Z1.
You're not going to. But, well, why not H1Z1 survive? Just survive. Make that on whatever. Have that be the test bed for whatever engine you're going to move to.
Yeah.
Why not? There's nothing in Just Survive anyways right now. You know, it's a pointless game mode at the moment. There's the base building's no good. There is PvP elements, but that's not really a shining part of the game. Why not say, all right, we're looking at going to, the Crytek engine. We're looking at going to, you know, whatever engine they decide would fit their, you know, what they're trying to make, and say, all right, we're going to start developing and actually develop the game separately. They're separate games you buy separately now, anyways. Keep H1Z1 just King of the Kill on Forge Light, then and say now we're going to focus on, and then have your developers actually have fun. I mean, they would have fun developing on a real engine, don't you think? Like for them, that would be very refreshing. They feel like they, man, look at all these new things we can do.
Yeah, possibly.
And I think we see some major things come out.
What I mean, here's the thing: now they're 10 times faster after. Here's the thing. Everything that's being worked on right now was conceived under the SOE title, which was Sony Online Entertainment, which Sony owned and Sony dumped millions of dollars into, and they were kind of riding, not riding on the coattails, but they were part of Sony, right? Like they were Sony. But now that they're their own separate entity, not linked to any other game studio, there is no reason why the next game couldn't have all of this stuff.
They're not tied to that. They're not tied to the engine anymore.
Not anymore, exactly. And now that, because now that they're a separate company, there's no upper.
But then they wouldn't be able to copy and paste show notes, or not show notes, update notes.
Yeah.
Patches. I mean, they'd actually have to have their own set of patch notes.
Now there's no higher ups. If the case was that higher ups at Sony were saying, no, you have to use this engine, and they're like, oh, well, it's a piece of crap, but now it's Daybreak's decision what they want to do. So I think the next game that we see that's announced will probably be using some type of different engine, if it requires it, because not all games do.
I mean, if they're going to be trying to announce something that actually is...
If they're trying to announce a game that requires PvP and all this other stuff, then yes, correct. But who knows?
I just don't know. I if they continue down this path, because look at the games that they're still putting out updates for. They're still putting out updates for EverQuest. They're still putting out updates out for EverQuest 2. And those games you never hear about, and they're so outdated.
Yeah.
Why are they wasting their time? Why are they still putting out content for those two games? As far as like for EverQuest 2, they still put out things.
True.
Why? Work on something new. Move on. I mean, you're talking about games that were out
2004 16
was years ago.
EverQuest 2 came out in 2004, didn't it? Yeah, 2005.
And EverQuest 1 came out in 99.
EQ 99, bro.
You know, move on. So...
Hey, don't make fun of EverQuest.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, Falcon says EverQuest 2 is still a pretty good game. There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, they need to move on and start putting all their focus into what they're going to do next. But maybe they're the game company that just wants to be the ones that maintain this old stuff. But how are they going to stay alive and survive doing that?
Well, that's we'll see stuff happen when investors... By the way, they're owned by an investment firm. When investors start being like, all right, like let's go here. What are you working on? What's new?
Down in a boardroom and say, how are we going to, because they got to be looking ahead 5 years. 5 years from now,
yeah, what's your 5 year
how are we going to be a viable company in the gaming industry? And you know what? They're not going to be able to say by doing what we're doing right now.
No, by half-assing development of a zombie survival game.
They're not going to be around 5 years from now if they continue this path. They have to sit down and say, all right, what is going to make us competitive to where, you know, even 3 years from now, we're starting to release stuff that like people are looking at and saying, wow, this is good.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that they can release right now in the current game engine that people are going to turn around. Like look at The Division. People complain about content or whatever, you know, like there's a huge amount of content. The graphics are great, but people will still complain about it.
Oh yeah. I complained about it.
It's 20 times better than anything close to what H1Z1 has.
Yeah. But like Falcon said, what's the ROI? It's what it's all about. What is the return on investment?
They got to be wasting a lot of money.
I don't think it's wasting, but at some point, like games like EverQuest is like, that's not a moneymaker in 2021 or 2020. That's not going to be a moneymaker at that point.
Yeah.
Five years from now.
They're running out of options to be able to do long-term. EverQuest worked out for them. EverQuest 2, you know, a lot of people played that and, you know, money is being put into it over time, probably.
WoW is still pretty good. WoW is totally different than what they're doing with EverQuest.
They put a lot of money into WoW and they are taking that engine and getting everything they can out of the WoW engine. And they're upgrading it slightly over time. Like WoW has it's not the same engine as what they started with.
Yeah, I mean, WoW is doing updates. I see expansions that they're doing all the time. And they're full-on expansions, like $50 updates to the game. They're doing stuff like that. And it's just not going to happen with Daybreak. Nothing is going to happen until somebody...
Blizzard has a full-time group of people. All they do is see what they can do next with that engine.
Nothing's going to happen until
Daybreak doesn't, you know, we don't see updates about their engine because
Because nobody's putting pressure on them. Once the investors are putting pressure on them, we will see stuff happen. Until that, nothing is going to change. So we can talk about it for hours. That's what it comes down to. Until somebody up above says, hey, what are you guys doing? And how much money are you making? Or, I mean, hell, once earnings reports start coming in, they're going to say, what the hell? What happened to all this money we invest in you guys? What are you doing? And then they're going to have to answer. Man, they may be out of business in 5 years for all we know. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was kind of thinking earlier, looking at all this stuff. I mean, I was just kind of sitting here looking at what other companies are doing and then looking at Daybreak. And I'm just like, man, I just don't know how they can survive.
I mean, you go on their website.
I don't see it happening.
And their games is H1Z1. They've got both of the H1Z1 games on there. Planet Side 2, DC Universe Online, Landmark, EverQuest, and EverQuest 2. When did DC Universe Online come out? That's a very old game, isn't it?
Yeah, DC Universe Online came out in 2011, so it's 5 years old.
Okay, I thought it was older than that. But either way, that's their third game on the website. And EverQuest is on there as one of their games still.
Yeah.
The original EverQuest.
They're like, oh, look, we're EverQuest. Like, how many other companies put as one of the primary things on their website a game that they put out 16 years ago?
Well, that would be like going to the Call of Duty website and seeing like, oh, hey, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It's like, what the hell is this? This game came out in 2009.
If you look, EverQuest came out in 99. Yeah. EverQuest 2 came out in 2004.
That was right.
Planet Side 2 came out in 2012. So it's like they had two games together. They put out some others. They put some expansions to EverQuest, like Legends of Norrath and all that, came out in 2007. So they put out some expansions on their original games, but Planet Side 2 was like their big, like the other big game that they made. So that was 2012. And then if you look 2 years later, 3 years later, they came out with H1Z1.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 or 4 years between game releases. And if you look, I mean, the game engine is the same from 2012 as what they're releasing in 2015, 2016. Like, it's the same engine.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do this for their next one that they put out in 3 years.
Yeah, well, I would imagine
they're gonna put out a game on the same Planet Side 2 engine.
I would imagine that we will be seeing some type of game announcement from Daybreak probably within the next year. New game, new IP announcement within the next year. They got to announce something. I mean, H1Z1 has now been out for over a year, been in development for 3 or 4 years at this point, potentially in development for 3 or 4 years at this point. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
There's got to be something. And if they don't have something that's coming out next, Landmark is their big thing. Like, I keep hearing about Landmark. Landmark has got to be the next thing. And if they're still working on the new engine, it would be for Landmark.
Is Landmark? I thought Landmark was out.
There's like test stuff that people can do, but it's not been officially released.
Oh.
Well, so that's where
then there's they're not going to do a new one. They're not going to rebuild this entire game.
No. And Landmark, no. I mean, it's a currently closed beta.
No, they're not going to rebuild the game.
So it says it's being developed alongside EverQuest Next.
Oh, so it's being developed in Forge Light 2.
That's what they said. They said Forge Light 2 was for EverQuest Next and for Landmark.
Well, and if Landmark is going to get canceled next.
Maybe development started in 2014 for Landmark. So it's been going on for 2 years.
That's not bad though. Here's the thing. Development's been going on for 2 years. They have an engine there. How about that?
Yeah.
But even
they announced it in 2014 is when because they were calling it EverQuest Next Landmark. And then they switched it simply Landmark,
which makes sense that now that there is no EverQuest Next.
But this was before, back in 2014. Oh.
Landmark is coming this spring for $10. What?
It can become this spring. It is spring.
I haven't heard anything about this.
It said supposedly the release for Landmark is spring of 2016, which would be coming up very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, spring is meteorologically 2 weeks away, a week away, maybe. Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spring.
So Landmark started out as a building tool for EverQuest Next.
Ah, okay.
And so, but that's the thing is, I don't really understand what the whole point of Landmark is.
It's a builder game. The whole thing is just building. Create masterpieces, collect treasures, share your vision.
But it was a building tool for EverQuest Next.
From sprawling mazes to interactive light shows and beyond. Your claims in the world are this. It's gonna be Minecraft, Brian. It's gonna be Minecraft, but not with pixels. It's Minecraft. That's all it is. You're just building stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what they're counting on is their next big major.
No, but I mean, you look at what this is, and you look at what Minecraft is. What is Minecraft? It's a building game. That's all it is. This is all this is. It's just you're just gonna build stuff that you think looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you just build assets in it. So it whatever. If they turn that into a game that they're actually releasing, but like it's kind of pointless now.
Yeah. So we're
It's a tool that they don't even have a game for that they originally started this with.
Yeah. All right.
So
we'll see.
Anyways, that's enough daybreak news. Do you want to talk about game engines?
You want to do a giveaway to kind of break the mood?
Yeah, let's make this a happier event. Because that's frustrating to me.
All right,
so
what are we giving away here, Brian?
All right. Well, let me pull up before I say any words. Let me pull up the giveaway and type the keyword in there. Okay. So all right, so I'm going to put in there the word into chat. So it's going to be novel. And this game is The Novelist. So let me pull up a
The Novelist. All right.
And this is a $14.99 game currently. It's got mostly positive reviews. So just type Novelist in chat.
Oh, Novelist or Novel?
Sorry, okay. Novel, all lowercase.
N-O-V-E-L. So
there's a link to the game. Okay. It is an indie adventure, casual, story-rich, stealthy game. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it'd be pretty fun. So we'll start out with a smaller one. It's a little bit smaller one, but it's a kind of an artsy style game.
Okay. And now you want to, I think this is going to be our new thing. So it's on the screen. You can enter that. And then let's talk about the next thing. And then we'll wrap back around to novel.
Yep. So let's actually, let's talk about the Fallout 4 DLC. Cause that's something shorter that we can, so this is their first video for the next DLC that they're doing. So like I got the season pass. This is the Automatron trailer that they're doing. It's a minute 17. So let's go ahead and play that so you can see some of the content.
All right, here we go.
This was the third time we've been attacked by robots like these. It's time to uncover the source and confront their leader. I ask your assistance in stopping this mechanist.
You see junk. I see the building blocks of life. Mine in particular.
The final confrontation awaits. I only hope we both live to see it.
All right. There we go. So
the one thing I noticed was if you look, there was a video of what looks like a motorcycle.
Okay.
But the disappointing thing is I don't think that's a motorcycle. I think that is because this is going to be where you can have like a companion bot.
Okay.
So he is not riding the motorcycle. So like your character is not riding this motorcycle. It is a bot.
It's riding a robot.
Is a motorcycle, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I was hoping, man, they're going to add motorcycles so you can kind of travel around Fallout, you know, the Fallout map a little bit faster. But no, that's not what it is.
I'm going to be catching up on my Fallout during spring break, so I'll have a.
Yeah, I'm waiting for this. You know, this will come out, and then I'll go in because they put out some fixes, and it. You know, as I said, you know, we've talked about this. Fallout 4 is one of those games that just you can go and play for an hour and you're good to go. I mean, you know, you can stop for a while, come and go as you please playing this game. So that's the fun part about it. So that's going to be automatron. So this will be to where you're going to be able to have these robot companions. So you'll do a number of quest lines, get these robot companions that will go with you throughout the game. So
all right, time to roll.
Yes. So do I get a sound effect for this, or is this a...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you wanted the sound effect. Let me get that queued up for you. Should be more on top of this. All right.
This is, yeah, Game Dump 2016.
Of course. Only the finest on the Infection Podcast. And the winner is...
All right. Oh, this said me. Hold on. When I type in the code, it puts me there. So JD Lori
all right.
Has won. Congrats. So we'll do another game giveaway here in just a little bit.
Exactly. Now, this next thing that we're waiting on is a big ARK announcement. Brian's been tracking it all day, keeping up to date with all of the news. And I'll let him break this because he is the ARK extraordinaire. I kind of fell off the face of ARK. So, Brian, what do we have?
They actually had a live stream, and remember how I've been commenting, man, they've not been putting out patch notes lately.
The bombshell was going to happen.
I was like, man, they've got to be planning something really big because they haven't put out patch notes. Like, there aren't patch notes out right now. We figured, well, maybe they're getting the console and the PC matched up in versions because they're going to be releasing this new game mode, which is exactly what they announced today. So they are releasing what is a Survival of the Fittest standalone. Now, the big thing about this is it's free to play.
Hey,
you don't
have to
own ARK to play this.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
And it comes with free skins in it. Like, you don't have to buy skins.
Oh, awesome.
And I they're going to have multiple game modes. So it's not going to only be the one regular Survival of the Fittest. It's going to be to where there's like a Survival of the Fittest where you fight against bosses inside of it. There's different styles. Ones have different numbers of players, but also there's ones where the focus is different. Like, you'll fight against these big bosses that are in there, or it'll be just a straight PvP. And that's going to be releasing today. So today they will be releasing this game later on Steam to where you'll be able to, even if you don't own ARK, you can go and subscribe to it, whatever, get the free game and play it as much as you would like.
Yeah. Now, since it's a free to play game, this is where skins are perfectly fine.
Yeah. But they're not, even, I mean, they may do something.
They should. I mean, how do you make any money on it? That's the whole point of when you do free to play, you make money with skins and stuff.
I think they're just releasing this so that people get into it, you know?
I don't know. I think they should be doing skins.
They may do some sort of skins. And I'm thinking that you might be able to win skins in this that will carry over to your regular game.
Yeah, possibly. So Coolio. Well, hopefully Survival of the Fittest should hopefully be a little more stable now that it's its own thing.
It is very stable. They've added to... The reason that they made this a standalone is you were running into problems with the mod version of it was just using the Unreal Engine modding, you know, interface to be able to do all these crazy things in the game.
Yeah.
That it wasn't made to do.
Like, it's not a standalone. Exactly.
Yeah. And so now they're like, okay, this game mode's a lot of fun. So they're making it so it's an actual executable that is just made to do this.
Cool.
And so it runs it correctly. If they are able to do queues and death cams and, have everything get groups together. All the things work correctly now because they're not trying to make a mod do this.
Awesome.
And they're saying, and like PHVCK is saying, man, they're doing what H1Z1 should have done. Like, these guys are releasing what is equivalent to King of the Kill, and they're putting out free to play to get interest in the game. Now, there's a lot of people that play ARK. So if we're going only off of the survival numbers, I think H1Z1 would be in a lot of trouble. These guys can do this, that, you know, they can get away with it.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Because ARK is so successful, and right now ARK is on sale. So if you are interested in still getting it, just for the survival part of it, it's $17.99 right now. But if you want, you don't own it, as I said, definitely check it out. It's free. It's going to be free. They announced it today. It's going to be free on the Steam store. There's a delay. Like, when you put on there, all right, make this available, it seems like there's a delay on Steam of when it actually gets released.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty big news. So congrats to all the ARK fans out there getting your standalone here.
So, yeah. And that's I think now one thing I did want to bring up is there is a bounty. So there's all these people that, you know, claim to have hacks or know about hacks for all these different games. Ark actually does a bounty to where if you can find a bug, an exploit, a hack inside of one of their games, they'll give you $200.
Damn, son.
So, I mean, if you feel like you're an elite hacker, and you're like, oh, look at all these things I can do in H1Z1. Well, you know, put that towards.
Oh, look at all these things I can do in Visual Basic. Whoa, I'm a hacker.
And so, you know, on here, if you have any kind of a, if you have any kind of a thing that you can do, then, you know, $200 they'll give you for finding that bug. So.
Yeah, as long as they're not aimbots, ESP, or speed hacks, which are, I guess, they're not looking for. So.
Yeah, he says, here's a list of stuff that we get dozens of emails about but do not care about. Artificial aiming.
This is Mr. Anti-Fun. This guy makes offline single-player cheats only. Yeah, that's no use to them.
Yeah, they're like, we want things that are actually carrying over. Because a lot of these are offline single-player trainers. You know, they don't care if you're going to do this stuff. Because
every game can be modded
abilities
offline
in the local anyways. You could turn off all these abilities in single player local anyways.
And you can
like,
look out
in a hack.
Oh my God. Paid out bounties. They're doing them every day.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I mean, they could be, well, they could spend four, six, you know, up like $1,000 in bounties a day.
No, these are per, well, some of these, it depends. Like,
no, look at, scroll down. It says paid out bounties. 6/23/15. A guy contacted them about,
But this is an older post. But yeah, this was a post that they put out on 8/24/15. I just was announcing it. But they do still do this.
This is just
ones that they showed before that. So they are doing this on a regular basis. If you can find one, they will pay you. It has to be online multiplayer issues on official servers.
Wow.
So it's not something that you can make some hack with some plugin or something that's not really a hack because you have unlimited ability in this game, you know, for single player. You could turn off all the settings and make yourself God.
Which, by the way, is not a new idea. Like, I know American Airlines has done this. Every major tech company
does this.
Google does this.
Can find a bug with Google, different Google things, they will pay you a pretty big bounty.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. It's to entice people to figure out issues. So, cool.
So now Miscreated has put out a new trailer. And this was something at the Game Developers Conference 2016 that made it for this.
This is not a re-release. This is just a new trailer.
This is a trailer. Yeah, this is a trailer that I think they're showing off some of the new stuff that's going to be. Because I know they redid the shade. They're redoing the shader.
Okay. Are we doing commentary over this? Or are we doing full audio?
No, I think you can play it. It's just kind of like a piano.
I didn't know if you wanted to do commentary, but okay.
It's just music, so it's really up to you.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. So this is the Miscreated official trailer at the GDC 2016. Right, that's Miscreated.
And so inside of this, they did show off some of their new city that they're putting out.
Okay.
So that is one thing that they're showcasing with this. There is a new character that they didn't put in this yet. I think because the clothes and things, they're still working on reforming all the clothes around the new character model.
Yeah.
Because they have so many shirts. They have all these different things that they made for it, and they have to make sure that they all fit correctly on the new character. So that is one thing I know that they're working on. But this was not, you know, saying, hey, here's some new content. They did want to show off the new city. So I think they wanted to have a trailer that kind of showed off some of the newer things they put in the game. And this was a big developers conference, so that they did attend. So, and then I did send a message to Mrs. Miscreated about this, asking, because they announced today with CryEngine a big new version that they're putting out, version 5 for the CryEngine, and this is going to be big because they're actually releasing it kind of like open source in a way. It's a, you can have it for free and then you can pay what you want for it model.
Okay.
So if you become successful with it, you know, they just say, we encourage you to pay us some money if your game makes it big. So, okay, cool. I mean, that's so that it's, if you are looking at getting into development, you know, you can start out on CryEngine, and on Humble Bundle today, they released a huge asset pack for it.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you saw, there's a link in there.
Yeah. I don't have your video. It's not coming back.
Okay. Let me try it.
Here, why don't you, call me back? Let's do that.
All right. Okay.
So yeah, this is the new Humble Bundle, and this is the CryEngine Humble Bundle. So they've got a bunch of stuff on here. Bunch of texture. So if you're interested in game development, this is the way to go. The military rifle starter pack, plants and shrubs, trees, environmental props, prototyping, textures, so on and so forth. This is great. I may just buy this just to dabble around in game development. And at any point, textures don't really go bad, especially if you're just trying to mess around. This seems like this could be a something really useful.
Yeah, and if you're looking at getting into it, like, this is an excellent start because this is a huge amount of dollars worth of assets.
Yeah, $13.
Have a starter project for a paintball game.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you wanted to kind of take that and start putting your own graphics and just kind of getting,
well, plus they've got a survival starter game in here for $13. Yep. Shit, I may just buy this just to play around with it.
Yeah.
$13.
I mean, if you're looking at, and this game engine now, so this is the first of these major game engines like this. It's already DirectX 12 compatible. The version 5 is okay. DirectX 12 compatible. Unreal doesn't even have that yet.
Wow.
So they're releasing out of the gate DirectX 12, which is going to be a huge performance boost. You know, and it's a huge amount of assets. So it's got a ton of animals. And it says it's engine ready. So they've got a Formula Racing starter pack. So it's a racing car one. They've got the survival game starter pack. So, I mean, if you're looking, it's probably a city and all the animations, and you can go in and customize it and have that as a launching pad for you. They have the paintball game. So if you're looking kind of like a first-person shooter arena style, that's what that's going to be. It's got a ton of shrubs, trees, props. So if you're looking for like bundles of sticks and all that stuff, prototyping kit is for like buildings and roads, all the different textures and decals. It's got sounds, vehicles, different things you'd find around the city, like trees and fences and things like that. A weapons pack. I mean, it's just got tons of stuff. So
cool.
Definitely a good place to start. And they announced this along with, this was along with the whole announcement that they announced this as well. So it's got a bunch of characters, animals, everything. So I sent a message to Miscreated saying, hey, you know, do you guys have any announcements based on all these announcements with the engine that you guys use today? So I was hoping, you know, I haven't heard back anything yet. So we'll see. Cool. But hopefully they'll announce something, because they could pretty easily move their whole game over to this new DirectX or sorry, not DirectX, but the DirectX 11 engine, but over to the new version of CryEngine. Because they've made it in CryEngine.
Exactly. Well, this is good.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. I mean, hopefully, I've been waiting on the website for CryEngine, and let me see, I'm refreshing. Okay, so if you look, they actually have it where you can go download CryEngine now on their website. So if you're looking at...
Just on the regular CryEngine site?
Yep, CryEngine.com. It says no royalties, no obligations. So this already, if you're looking at getting into it, is now cheaper than using Lumberyard because you're not tied to any hardware.
Yeah, shots fired at Amazon.
It's cheaper. Well, Amazon paid them $70 million for this license.
Yeah.
So they just got $70 million, you know, and so I think that's where they're like, okay, we have a little bit of flexibility. Let's see if we can start bringing in developers, you know, making our game engine one of the top ones. Because Unreal has it to where, you know, after you become successful, you pay us a fee, you know, of your sales.
Yeah. Like, that's what Arc does, correct?
That's what Arc has, yes. So these guys aren't even doing that. These guys are saying there's no royalties, no obligations, just, you know, 100% royalty free. And then, you know, if you guys make money off of your game, then you can send it, you know, send us something.
Yeah. Well, this is good. Are you going to buy that Humble Bundle pack?
Yeah, I've been seriously thinking about it.
So. I'm not even interested in game development, but to have all those assets and on like
it'd be fun to play around with.
Though. You know what this seems like?
Like I'm in school for software development, and so I, you know, this is where when I get to the end of it, like I got to decide: am I interested in going into game development? Am I interested in sticking in servers right now, like I am right now?
This seems like a really good opportunity to use this if the internet goes out. Have all this stuff preloaded. What do you do on your computer when the internet goes out? Absolutely nothing. Your computer's pretty much useless. So this is a great, if your internet goes out, great use for that. So I'll pick that up.
Well, this game engine now is very cutting edge. I mean, the fact that it's DirectX 12 support, it's a very low overhead renderer. You know, they really are pushing the bar with this.
Yeah.
And this is a AAA game title, or, you know, for AAA game titles. So like this is not just some cheap game engine they've thrown together. Like you can make real awesome games on this.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited. This should be cool.
So that is the new. Now Unity, they put out I don't know if you want to show this. This is kind of showing off. Unity is adding in things so you can do cutscenes.
Oh, cool.
Inside of there, and so this is them demoing, and you could probably play it. I mean, it's.
Did you
it's,
send?
It's a very is there very a cool video. It's a full page. Yeah, it's right above the CryEngine link.
Oh, okay.
I have it highlighted right there.
Okay, I'm sorry. Missed that.
I don't know if you can show. It's not really a YouTube video.
Okay, I'll play it. Are you going to talk over? Is there audio?
There's audio. So go ahead and just play it. And
I don't hear any audio. Kind of watch. Oh, yeah, there is. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right, so that shows off a little bit of what they're working on there.
Yeah, so they're wanting it so that people have the ability to do cutscenes and make nice things for their games. You know, using the three, it's not like a one thing. If you look at what WoW has always done, those are pretty much videos, like those cutscenes.
Yeah,
they're not what the game looks like. This makes it so you can take all the assets from your game, make a nice cutscene video and use it in your game. So they're trying to show that off because that's something I guess they didn't really have a utility to do that before. So
well, that's good then.
That is for that. Yeah, the Unity engine.
Cool.
So do we want to do a game giveaway? I'm looking to see. Oh, I was going to talk a little bit about Grav.
Yeah, go for it.
Ooh. Let me see my video. Yeah, went bad again.
Lost your video there.
I don't know what decides. Like it just.
Yeah.
It I'm decides not sure. when it wants to go out, and it has nothing to do with what my bandwidth. So, all right. So Grav is actually on the current Humble Bundle monthly. And so
Langan asked me if I was going to get this Humble Bundle, and I wondered why. I wonder if this has something to do with it.
Yeah, so he and I have been playing Grav on one of their servers, and it's actually very good. You know, this is a game you don't really hear about, and so we went through, logged in, we were live streaming it, and it's actually a very fun survival game. If you look at the videos, like the character looks kind of funny, but that's the art style they're going for. Has a really good building system. The world is very big. It's just there's a lot to it. So we were going through, and it's something to where you can travel to other planets through some sort of a portal system. It's not like a space flying game. So yeah, we've been playing it. If anyone else has it, like if anyone else is a part of this Humble Bundle, like maybe if you got it for the ARC part of the Humble Bundle, Grav would have come with it as well. And so it's an early access game. It is still being developed, but it's quite a bit of fun. So if you have Grav and you haven't tried it, because that's one thing is we both had it, we're like, oh, we need to try this game. We played it, and it is actually a blast. So
cool.
It's got caves, so kind of like a dungeon system where you can go get better loot. There's a progression system for your character. The building system is very nice. They have vehicles that you can fly around. It's a pretty complete game, more complete than I was thinking from the intro video that they had on their Steam page. So
you were pleasantly surprised with what you got.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. So I think that Langan and I might be playing a little bit after the show tonight.
Oh, cool.
So if you do have it, maybe we'll stream it as well.
Now,
so if you're interested in possibly getting it, this will be an opportunity to see how it looks.
Langan bought that fly stick. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, we've been waiting for it to arrive.
Yeah, he sent me a message earlier in the week, and he's like, hey, man, look what I bought. And it was, in fact, if you missed last week's show, the flight stick, that the $200 flight stick that Brian was looking at on Amazon. So
yes, and
now you have to buy it.
I know. I will eventually.
Oh, God, I'm sitting here struggling to decide if I want to spend $13 on a Humble Bundle. You're like, oh, $150 on a flight stick. Who cares?
No, I mean, if I were really dedicated, let me.
You already showed me like the $400 one.
No. I'll show you what I found this week. I'll let you pull it up first.
Okay.
So there is a link.
Jeez.
If I were really dedicated,
yeah,
this would be what I would go for.
So Brian wants this is immersion.
And so if you look, it's got pre-drilled holes for that exact.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you have to, this is just stick. You could build this though. I don't know why you would spend $700 on this. What a ripoff! Yeah, that's such a ripoff.
It's pretty much a screen mount, but it would fit what I have. Like, I have the three screens. Like everything is there. But it's just a mounting system.
Did you pass this by your wife?
No, I'm not getting it because it's $150 shipping.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty big unit. Of course, it's going to cost that much. What, you think shipping is free?
But it's got all the stuff for the SciTech Pro flight yoke. It's got all the pre-drilled holes to mount all of that stuff into this. Pretty impressive. I mean, if you look at some of the other images from that, like of people that after they've installed all their things, like look at the second image down.
Second image down.
And like the last image. If you look on the Amazon images.
Oh, second image down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So this is once they've mounted all the things.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like the iPad on the side.
Don't look at that. Look at there's the other one that has like the actual yoke.
This
yeah.
One?
Okay. See, like those ones, those are pretty impressive. That's a lot of money worth of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Waste.
I just,
waste
that would be, time. that is it's a huge waste of money.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no.
But if I ever get that, then you know Whoops. Sorry, you know I've gone overboard.
Yeah, we probably won't be doing the podcast at that point.
My wife will be like, all right.
Pack your stuff.
She's like, I'm turning off the internet.
Yeah, I'm unplugging. That's the best threat. I'm unplugging the internet. No, you're not. That's a bunch of BS. And this is coming from the guy who's got $200 worth of ham radio equipment sitting right here. But that's fine. Yeah. But that's fine. Yeah.
So, I mean, I already have like three screens. Like, all I have to do is figure out a system to mount those to my desk, or all I need is a keyboard tray.
No, you don't need any of this. Can we just do a game giveaway? No, we're not going down this rabbit hole. There's no, under no circumstances should we be talking about this. There's no, this is not acceptable, Brian.
All right. So let me make sure
I'm not feeding it to your insanity.
Hey, I admit I have a problem.
So. It's the first step, right? Admitting that you have a problem.
Okay. So I've got a game that is, that actually is a pretty cool game. Okay. So let me put it in the game giveaway though. So before
you announce it,
before I announce it, so that people don't start typing and we try to figure out why in the world they're not in there. So, all right. So the code word is glitch, and this is Teleglitch Die More Edition. You know, you might be interested in this. So here, let me see. Let me throw it in the
glitch. GLITCH. Glitch is the word.
Yep. So glitch is the word. I don't know if you want to look at, if you have a link to it.
Bird is the word.
All lowercase. Please type glitch, not.
Please enter our game giveaway, please. Please. Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's. Did I type in there glitch?
Uh oh.
There we go. So that's glitch. And this one is.
Oh, I like the graphic style already.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's a roguelike indie top down shooter action game. This is cool.
Oh, I like this. Kind of reminds me of not Super Meat Boy, but kind of like a similar style.
Yeah, kind of that style. It's right now it's about $13 to buy. Cool.
I like how the room opens.
Big picture with full controller support.
Like this, I like how the rooms open when you go through a doorway. It's like a beam of light. That's super cool. I like that. That's awesome. Actually, this is a really cool art style.
So this is one where it's got very good ratings. It's procedurally generated. It's like a procedurally generated classic Doom with a top-down view. It's got lots of weapons. It looks like a lot of fun.
Did you say Doom? What a coincidence. I just happen to have the Doom music ready.
There you go. So yeah, type glitch in chat. But it's, yeah, in a cold, dark future dominated by mega corporations, a small, lonely planet on the edge of space is the site of a shadowy research facility specializing in necrotic tissue reactivation. You are a scientist who has suddenly awoken to the realization that you are the lone survivor.
Yeah. Now, so, Gadlaw says this might melt his 980 Ti. That's a real possibility. Gadlaw, do not enter this game contest. So you are not allowed. You may melt your 980.
It's one of those kind of a retro style feels, but it is full controller support. So it's kind of a fun game. If you have some sort of a controller in your computer, and this would totally play into that. It's got 40 different weapons, 20 different types of enemies. And it's just a fun game.
Too gory looking. Yeah. All right. Are we ready for a roll here?
Yes. So let's go ahead and roll this. And the winner is Bat Chain Puller.
Bat Chain Puller. That's a new name,
it's
right?
It's a new name.
I don't think of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad. One of these times I'll be like, oh, that's a new name. And it's going to be something that's
recognize that guy. Some guy's been with us.
Yeah, it'll be like Gadlaw. I'll be like, Jadlaw? Who? Jalaw. Oh, okay. Hey, first time viewer. Yeah, Binding of Isaac. That's actually what I was looking for. Not Super Meat Boy. Binding of Isaac. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Cool.
Blinding.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, I have the game, I think, but I don't have the one to give away. That is a game. Good game, though.
I'm sorry, Falcon. All right. Let's get into.
So one thing is that game will be
Brian.
In your other box inbox on Twitch. So I have people saying, how do I get to my games? If you go to your messages inside of Twitch and then there's an other folder, that's where your game code should be. You should be able to click the link there and activate your game on Steam.
All righty. And now time for everybody's. We need music for current players. I gotta work on that. Alrighty, currently playing H1Z1 combo. Oh, let me take this off the screen. 14,143. The 24-hour peak is 19,977. And the 7-day peak, 25,435. Oh, Brian. H1Z1 just survived. Currently playing 4,451. The 24-hour peak did not even crack 6,000. 5,934. And the 7-day peak, 7,443. So that just shows who's really playing this game. Totally on the opposite side of that. King of the Kill, currently playing that, 9,692. The 24-hour peak, 14,043. And the 7-day peak with this, not bad. It's 17,992. Not too bad with that. And then ARK, 29,424 people playing right now. The 24-hour peak, 44,600.
Now, these are going to be separate games starting next week.
Yeah, so but I don't think many people play the
yeah, the mod version. It'll be interesting to see how many people move into this new... I mean, because for a lot of people, the mod was so unstable, you didn't want to play it all
then
the time.
Then we really...
It's such a pain to get in.
We really got to work on that page then, because I can't be doing combos for ARK as well.
Yeah.
It takes me almost 10 minutes to do the regular ones.
Well, what we could do is, if you want this weekend, maybe we could sit down, because I can, if you give me the graphic, I can
nothing
make something that
the problem is the API.
Yeah.
I don't know how Steam's API works.
Well, I could look into it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that this weekend. Make my life a whole lot easier. Cause I sit here and I panic.
Cause then you could just pull up different, I could have links in there.
Yeah. Web pages. Yeah. And then
you could just pull up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that's current players.
Now, The Division, that was one thing we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I pretty much just go into
now, this is just the Steam number, so that's not even really... But, of course, Miscreated right now has 159 people, so...
When are they going to relaunch that game with a new name? Or just do a relaunch in general, like Rust?
Yeah, they need to do something when they get this all these new engine features in. Or, I mean, re-release under the new CryEngine.
Yeah.
With the new AI, with the new inventory... and base building, storage boxes, like they control it. That would be enough as a re-release.
Yeah.
Cause you would have all these, new animal AI, the new zombie AI, you could just totally re-release under all this stuff. Pull in some assets from that Humble Bundle. You can use them.
Yeah. I got to buy that.
I mean, there's tons of cool assets in there that they could get for free, and they're all made for, they're all high poly count.
True.
So, yeah, right. They could. They're ready. I mean, they're right on the edge there. I'm just waiting for them to do it. So frustrating. Right.
What's next? We got a tip of the week?
Yes. So let's go ahead and tip of the week's where I go through and either give a tip for a specific game or maybe for survival games in general. But this will be something that will just be a tip that'll help you in gaming and hope this week we're actually going to do one that's specific towards one game. So this is Tip of the Week.
Let's do it.
All right. So this tip is actually for Grav. Since Langan and I have been playing this quite a bit this week, I wanted to kind of give a hint because this is something that we learned firsthand.
Our large Grav audience.
Yes. And so, a tip for what we're playing. There are people playing Grav. We actually had someone who, follows the podcast who really loves this game. And so they came in and were playing quite a bit with us over the week.
Was it somebody that I know, or was it a new person?
I don't know if you know them, but it's just someone who's a part of our Steam group.
Awesome.
And so they were showing us a lot of things of what to do in there. And they're like, man, this game is so much fun. It's just, we don't have, kind of like what we run into with Miscreated. They just don't have the numbers of people playing it, but it is an awesome game. All the things are there to have it be an excellent game if they just have the players. So one thing we found is that when you get inside of the game and you start building things, it's very important to upgrade your build items. The problem is that when you build something, it's level one. And so it has a type of decay. When you upgrade an item, it will improve the abilities of the item. So it might be able to make something, because you can build crafting stations and things like that. And also it'll improve the decay rate.
Did you learn this the hard way?
Yes.
What happened?
So if you don't upgrade your items, they will decay within a short amount of time. And so Landgun messages me and says, I keep getting these messages that things that we have are getting destroyed. I'm like, I have no idea. And so he then said, oh, I found that all of our storage boxes that we had put all this cool, awesome stuff that we'd found and we had raided from other people's bases were all destroying themselves because we did not upgrade them. And so they had
self-destruct.
They had a short time period. So that's something where if you have a multi-tool that you can use, you can right click on it and you have the ability to repair an item. So unless you're going to be going in there every day and repairing that item, it is important that you go and upgrade the ranking on the item and make it so that it is a higher level item so that you have a couple days.
It's like keeping your dinosaurs fed an ark.
Yes.
You start off with just putting the food in manually and then you get a feeding trough and then next thing you know, you don't have to worry about feeding them every day.
Yes. And it's PHVC cases. It's an excellent way to keep the map clean. But if you don't go in and upgrade every single one of your things, you are going to be stuck with nothing. So definitely upgrade your items because everything will disappear, I promise. As we learned very quickly. So that is my tip of the week.
Awesome.
And that's, as I said, grav specific, but I'm sure you can carry that over to other games. Same thing with Ark. If you don't maintain your base, if you don't feed your animals, eventually they will die.
Yeah, exactly. Everything will go. That's what we learned in the end. Everything will die or go away.
Yep. Yep. So like I logged into Ark today just to fill up the troughs with food and
there you go.
Meat and berries.
All right. What else?
Is there anything else you can think of?
No, not really.
All right. Well, and we'll be playing some games. I'll talk to Langan and see if he wants to play some grab, or maybe we'll do some division, or maybe, you know, whatever. We'll do something after this, though.
Okay, cool. Where can people find you on the net?
Yep. If you want to find me, go ahead and go to biteoftech.com. That's BITE of tech.com. On there has a link to every form of social media that I'm on. Also, definitely check out our website. We've got infectionpodcast.com. We have our Steam group on there. Even if you don't play the games that we talk about and you're looking just for people to play whatever game you have, that's an excellent place to go because once you get in there, you'll be able to see who else owns that game. Maybe next time you get
unless
into it,
it's
say,
an
hey,
Ubisoft
do you want to play
game.
This? Unless it's an Ubisoft game, then...
or an EA game.
But if it is a Steam game, most likely you'll see who's playing that. And then our TeamSpeak, even if you aren't looking to play a game we're playing and you just need a place for your friends to hang out and talk while you're playing a game, you're more than welcome to join. We have people that create their own channels. If you create one and it'll go away after you leave. So you can create as many as you'd like.
And if you need a permanent one, message Brian.
Yeah. If you play a game quite a bit and you're on there and you need a permanent one, I'm more than happy to make you one. So
yeah, he's a pretty outgoing guy. He'll make your channel if you'd like it. Hey, I'm gonna pimp a little pro. That's not even supposed to be there. I want you know exactly what that sound. You know exactly what that sound was from. I want to pimp a little project I'm working on. If you don't mind, here, Ryan. I have a new blog. I'm an up and coming blogger, as you're aware. HamRadioNoob.com is following my journey through ham radio. So if anybody in here, a very small subset, but if you have any interest in stuff like this, I'm dropping in as a total noob, so I'm using it as a learning experience and hoping that I can help somebody else out in a similar situation by not making the stupid mistakes I'm guaranteed to make, because it's just bound to happen when you're hopping into a new hobby like this. So you know, when you like building a computer for the first time, it's a whole thing. So
and you fry your motherboard. My first computer I ever got when I was on my 13th birthday, I got a motherboard. And it was
what year is this, your 13th birthday?
I think this was 1993.
Oh damn. Okay.
Maybe 1990.
Well, we're going back in time.
I did December 93. I would have turned
December 93. That we had a huge snowstorm here December 93.
Yeah, so so on that I got this new motherboard. It was for the 166. So the 166 megahertz, got the processor, put it in and fried the motherboard when I was putting it in because they were really sensitive then. I was very disappointed. And so the company swapped it out for me and everything was good.
RMA, but... even back in 93.
Yeah. Well, I took it back to the computer shop. And
mail, like, mail a postcard.
Dead. I don't know what happened. I'm much more careful when I put the next one in.
Yes. Alrighty. Thank you very much, Brian. Of course, like Brian said, the Steam group, TeamSpeak, all that other fun stuff. And our email, I don't think we ever talk, we don't talk about our email much anymore. Contact@infectionpodcast.com if you need to drop us a line. If you have any issues with the podcast, downloading it, viewing it, handling more.
Hate those guys that are talking on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to replace one of us, throw it in an email, whatever. We'll read it. And if not, it'll go to spam. But yeah, definitely if you've got anything, seriously, contact us. Twitter. I know Brian's been on the infection now that he's home all the time. I'm sure he's got Twitter open. He's browsing Twitter. I see him tweeting and retweeting stuff during the day on the infection account.
When I'm supposed to be doing school. So.
It's fine. You can multitask. That's what you have three monitors for, Brian, so that you can work on one and have Twitter and email and stuff open on the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
So definitely check all that stuff out. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for episode 61 of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. We'll see you next week for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.